Good morning. The notices for the coming week are as follows. Monday the 9th to Wednesday the 11th, and if you haven't guessed, that's tomorrow, it's the Wesleyan Reform Union Conference. So if we could hold that in our prayers over tomorrow to Wednesday for the work of the union and those who are attending from our church. Also on Wednesday, it's the prayer meeting, and that will be held at 8 p.m. and that will be on Zoom. On Friday, the church cafe will be held at 10 a.m. in the church hall, and the craft group will meet 10 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. Next Sunday's service will be led by John Pang at 11 a.m, and the worship warriors will also meet at 11 a.m. in the Jubilee Hall. An advance notice on Tuesday the 17th of June, there's a church members meeting, will be 7:30 p.m. in the Jubilee Hall. And another advance notice, Saturday the 21st of June, a walk and a picnic, 11:30 a.m. at Coombe Abbey on Saturday the 21st. Let's hope the weather's not as nice as yesterday was. And just finally, an invitation was sent out for the little chapel in Bedworth, and that's for a celebration service following Graham's ordination. So if you'd like to go along to that, if you can let me know, just for catering purposes, the service starts at 2:30 p.m., not 7:30, 2:30 p.m., and as I said, they'll be serving refreshments after the service. If you're worried about parking, they've kindly got permission from the Life Church across the road, so you can park your car with ease. Thank you very much. Saturday the 28th of June. So Saturday the 28th of June. They're all the notices, and I'd like to hand over and welcome Jeff this morning. It's lovely to have you with us again, Jeff, in the post of preacher. Thank you.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Welcome. It's good to see so many smiling faces. Does anyone know what today is?
Sunday.
Yes,
Pentecost.
Today is Pentecost, so perhaps we should be singing Happy Birthday, because today marks the day of the birth of the Christian Church. This day, some 2,000 years ago, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles, and can I say, it all kicked off. So we'll kick things off with our first two hymns. We'll sing two together, and we'll stand and sing if you're able. Hymn number 1287. Oh, I've got it down as Fill Me Now. Hover Over Me. And then we'll follow it with River Wash Over Me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you with hearts full of gratitude. Thank you for your endless love, mercy and grace that sustain us each day. We are grateful for the gift of life, for your creation around us, and for the blessings you pour into our lives, big and small. Thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to save us, and for the Holy Spirit who guides us in truth. Lord, we thank you for your patience when we stumble and your forgiveness when we fall short. Help us to recognize your goodness in every moment and to live in a way that honors you. May our lives be a reflection of your love, shining brightly in this world. We praise you and forevermore in Jesus' name, who taught us when we pray to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And we'll stand and sing our next hymn, number 514, Such Love. Going to pray in a second, but if the servers who are serving communion would like to come up beforehand, that would be nice. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we come before you with grateful hearts, thankful for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, who sacrificed himself for our salvation. As we partake in this bread and cup, we remember his sacrifice, his body broken and his blood shed for our salvation. Lord, please bless these elements to nourish our spirits and strengthen our faith. Help us to reflect your love and grace in our daily lives. May your Spirit dwell within us, guiding us to live in obedience and service. We ask for forgiveness where we have fallen short and strength to walk anew in your ways. Thank you for your unending mercy and the promise of eternal life through Jesus. May this communion deepen our relationship with you and renew our commitment to follow Christ faithfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As Paul says in Corinthians, "For I have received from the Lord what I also passed on to you." The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats and the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of our Lord." We shall take the bread and eat together and give thanks for our Lord Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. In the same way, he took the cup and gave thanks, saying, "This is my blood for the redemption of our sins." Let's take the cup, retain it, and we'll drink together, giving thanks for our Lord. Thank you. Let us drink and be thankful. Father God, we come before you with humble hearts, lifting up the needs of others. We pray for those who are hurting, physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Please bring comfort to the grieving, healing to the sick, and peace to those in turmoil. Lord, we ask for your guidance and wisdom for leaders and caregivers. Bless families, friends and communities with love and unity. We also pray for those who don't yet know you. Draw them closer to your grace. Help us to be vessels of your love and compassion in our daily lives. Thank you for hearing our prayers. We trust in your perfect plan. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. I wish sing again, hymn number 544, There Is a Redeemer. May we take up the offering, please. I thought no one was going to do that. Thank you. Heavenly Father, as we bring these gifts to you, we do so with a grateful heart, recognizing that everything comes from you. We please bless these offerings that they may further your kingdom, giving comfort to the hurting, feeding the hungry, and spreading your word. May these offerings show our love for you. Bless those who give generously and those who give sacrificially. May they all be for your glory. Amen. Our reading today is from Joshua, chapter 2, verses 28 to 32, I believe. Joel. Did I not say Joel? What did I say?
Joshua.
Joel. It's Joel. I don't think there is a book of Joshua, is there? Joel, chapter 2, 28 onwards. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Excuse me. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. I will show wonders in the heavens and on the earth, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to the darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen. I'm going to stop there, if that's okay. Yeah. And we'll sing our next song, number 510, Spirit of the Living God. Today is Pentecost. So let me read Acts chapter 2, verses 1 to 4. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Can you imagine how that must have felt? I know I would have been terrified with the tongues of fire floating around everywhere. But then, the awe-inspiring presence of the Holy Spirit, making you feel more alive than you ever have been before. Pentecost comes from the Greek word Pentecoste, which means 50th, because it falls on the 50th day after Easter. And as I have said before, marks the birth of the church. And here's why. I'll read Acts chapter 2, verses 14 to 18, verses 21, then I'll jump to 36, 41. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Verse 21, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And on to verses 36 and onwards. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and for your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Sounds a bit like the one we're living in, doesn't it? Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. So the day started with just the 12 sitting in a room in a house waiting. The day ended with another 3,000 believers. Boom. Let's pray for a working of the Holy Spirit like that in this place. Wouldn't it be nice to see a full church? That you have to come early just to get a seat? I think that would be marvellous. Pentecost is all about receiving the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is a gift. Just as Peter said in Acts 2:38, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now a gift is something we receive without having to do anything to earn it. It costs us nothing to receive a gift. The cost is borne by the giver of the gift. God, again, in his great mercy and love and generosity, has taken on the burden of the cost. Did we not receive grace as a gift? That much quoted verse from Ephesians. We have also received eternal life as a gift. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. All these wonderful gifts are all wrapped up in Jesus Christ through his crucifixion and resurrection. We know that the Holy Spirit is promised to us. As Jesus says in John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said. If any of us today feels we haven't received the Holy Spirit, I urge you to hold fast to this promise. For God always fulfills his promises. Let me read you this from Numbers 23:19. God is not a man that he should lie, or a son of man that he should change his mind. Does he not speak and then act? Does he not promise and then not fulfill? Did you know the Holy Spirit is also our guarantee? Now it is God who makes us stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set a seal of ownership on us, and put his Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. 2 Corinthians 1, 21-22. I make no apologies for all the scriptures I'm throwing at you. After all, we're looking into God's word, and we can't do that without reading God's word. The Holy Spirit is powerful. He is able to change lives. He distributes gifts like wisdom, healing, etc. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us to do good works and grow in faith. Look at the apostles, how emboldened they became after they received him. Peter preaching to the crowds just weeks after denying Jesus 3 times, and the others speaking in tongues. And that is exactly how we should be as believers, filled with the Holy Spirit, emboldened, strengthened, and guided so that we can stand firm in our faith, proclaiming that we are not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. And yes, speaking in tongues, if that is what is called for, whatever it means to speak in tongues. Listen to these. In Job 26:13, we read, "By his Spirit the heavens are garnished." Let that sink in. The heavens are garnished by the Holy Spirit, embellished, adorned, decorated by the Spirit. The very same Spirit that dwells in us. Isaiah 32:15, "The Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the desert becomes a fertile soil field." The desert is us, dead in our transgressions, being made fertile, being made alive by the Holy Spirit. And let us not forget that the Lord himself declared his messiahship with a great pronouncement in the synagogue when he reads Isaiah 61:1, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me." The Spirit is not a background player at all. The Holy Spirit is not a bit part. Ephesians 5:18 tells us, "Do not get drunk," which leads to debauchery, "but be filled with the Spirit." But how are we filled with the Holy Spirit? First of all, pray regularly, inviting the Holy Spirit to fill us earnestly and sincerely. Read and meditate on God's word regularly, which helps keep our minds focused on God. Come to church, for when we worship and praise God, we are lifting our hearts to him, opening the way for the Spirit. Obey God's commands, because living in obedience opens our hearts for more of his guidance. And confess our sins, which can never harm our relationship with God. In both Hebrew and Greek, the word for spirit is the same word for breath or wind. Remember the beginning of Acts 2? Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a mighty wind came from heaven. Literally, God's breath or God's spirit. Through faith, we have the indwelling Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit who was poured out at Pentecost. The same Spirit who was with the Father and the Son at the very beginning of creation. Let me read you this from Job 33:4. "The Spirit of God has made me. The Spirit, the breath of the Almighty gives me life." The Holy Spirit should confront us with the wonder that God gives himself to us. Not only does God work for us and upon us, but actually works in us so that our very bodies become the temple of God the Spirit. It reminds me of a video clip I've seen in which a man is talking about a Chinese scholar who was given a New Testament. The scholar said that he had read the Quran and the Vedas and all the other sacred writings. The man asked him what he had taken from the New Testament, thinking he might say that Jesus was born of a virgin, was put to death and raised back to life. Instead, the scholar replied, "The most amazing thing is in Ephesians 2 at the very end of the chapter, where it says, we are the habitation of God." He said, "I've read the Quran and the Vedas and the other sacred books, but Christianity is the only religion in the world where a man's God comes and lives inside of him." And that's Ephesians 2:22. "And in him you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit." Or the King James Version, "In whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit." Let's not forget those tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, conjuring up the image of John the Baptist's prophecy that Jesus would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke 3:16. Fire, as you know, symbolizes purification and also God's presence. Also, tongues has a double meaning in Greek. It can refer to physical tongues or to languages. And here in Acts chapter 2, both meanings are at play. Visual tongues resting on each person and the supernatural ability to speak in foreign languages. So, if Pentecost is the Greek word for this particular event, in the Old Testament, the Jewish name is Shavuot. Don't know whether I'm pronouncing that correctly or not. The Hebrew word Shavuot means weeks, and it comes 50 days after Passover, which is the same time of year that Jesus was crucified and rose. We can find this feast in Exodus 23:16 and Leviticus 23:15-21. "From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count out 7 full weeks. Count off 50 days up to the day after the seventh Sabbath, and then present an offering of the new grain to the Lord." They celebrated this feast, Shavuot, or Feast of Weeks, to give thanks for the giving of the Torah, or the law, at Mount Sinai. This then signifies the birth of the covenant between God and Israel. They would spend all night reading and studying the Torah and reading the Book of Ruth. Why did they read the Book of Ruth, you might ask? Well, I ask the same question. Here's why. Shavuot is originally an agricultural festival celebrating the wheat harvest and first fruits. The Book of Ruth takes place during the harvest season, making it a fitting literary and symbolic companion. Ruth, a Moabite woman, famously declares to her Jewish mother-in-law, Naomi, "Your people are my people, and your God, my God." This is seen as a personal covenant and is likened to the national covenant at Mount Sinai. Ruth is also the great-grandmother of King David, who, according to tradition, was born and died on Shavuot, and so honours his ancestry and legacy. The custom of the Jews during this festival would be to eat dairy and to decorate with greenery. In what ways does this compare to Pentecost? What similarities are there? One, the names, Shavuot and Pentecost. Shavuot means weeks and Pentecost means 50th. Two, the timing of these festivals. Shavuot is 50 days after Passover, Pentecost 50 days after Easter, both at the same time of the year. The theme, Shavuot is the celebrating of the giving of the Torah at Mount Sinai, Pentecost is the celebrating of the giving of the Holy Spirit, one marking the birth of the covenant between God and Israel, and the other the birth of the Christian church. God gave Israel the law. Jesus fulfilled the law, so now we have his Spirit. for customs. For Shavuot, the tradition of eating dairy and decorating with greenery. For Pentecost, does anyone know? I didn't. In some traditions, it's the wearing of red and confirmation ceremonies. But isn't it fascinating that one festival celebrates the covenant between God and Israel, and the other celebrates the giving of the Holy Spirit, the new covenant through the blood of Christ and of the new church? Let me repeat Joel for you. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. Who would like to see an outpouring of the Holy Spirit today, right now, in this place? We've got some hands up, that's good. I know I would. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we gathered here today with our arms open, our ears open, our minds open, even our very selves open to receive your Spirit. Renew us, Lord. Regenerate us and sanctify us with the Holy Spirit. Lord, cause the Holy Spirit to move among us. Light a flame in our hearts so that we will burn for you, for your glory and your glory alone. Amen. We'll sing our final hymn, hymn number 40, Be Still for the Presence of the Lord. Heavenly Father, fill each and every heart present today with your Spirit. May we leave this building aflame and burning for you. Amen. Amen. Shall we share the grace together? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. now and more. Amen.